And I'm not a Rosh Yeshiva, but we'll try to learn together. We'll try to enjoy studying Torah together. That's really the main thing. Anyway, that's what Hashem wants from us. So really, we didn't need to start with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We could have started just with Rabbi Yishmael and had a perfectly good shiur. But since it's a Shemitah year, I thought we'd start with Rabbi Akiva's novel interpretation of Machlokes Tanoim. In source number one, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, Rabbi Akiva has a novel interpretation of the pasuk that even though the pasuk begins 6 days you should do work, the seventh you should rest. That's probably talking about 6 days, and then the seventh that's Shabbos Kodesh. But then the pasuk says the end of the pasuk is Becharish Bekatzer Tishbos, from plowing and harvesting you should rest. Now we would have assumed reading the pasuk that that's also talking about Shabbos. It's just a natural flow from the beginning of the pasuk. Rabbi Akiva novelly interprets the end of the pasuk as talking about Shemitah. Shemitah. Why would he want to do that? Any guesses why he might want to do that?
Because it's repetitive.
It says that we should rest from all malacha, but then it points out two particular malachas. And what's unique about those malachos? Say again? They're working the land. They seem agricultural. This is what the Torah Tumimah explains, that the end of the pasuk seems to be talking about something else, because there are so many other malachos that are asur on Shabbos. All of a sudden we start talking about not harvesting, not plowing. That sounds a little bit more agricultural. So Rabbi Akiva seems to assume that the last part of the pasuk is talking about something totally different, namely a different type of Shabbos called Shemitah. Well, Rabbi Akiva is bothered by that because we have a pasuk beferish in Sefer Vayikra that tells us that there's a mitzvah to keep Shemitah. The pasuk says, Sadcha lo sizra, v'karmacha lo sizmor, right? Rabbi Akiva quotes that in the second line in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Sadcha lo sizra, v'karmacha lo sizmor, that's the end of the pasuk. Don't do any type of malachos, agricultural things in your field on Shvias, during Shemitah. So why do we need this other pasuk? From here, Rabbi Akiva learns a chiddush. Not only are we supposed to secede from doing malacha that has to do with the ground during the time of Shemitah, but we should actually start Shemitah a little bit early. We should mosifin chol al kodesh, which means that if the gun is going to blast off for Shemitah, at the buzzer we're going to blast off, so we should steal the gun from the guy, and a few minutes early we should blow the horn to start the race even earlier. We should start Shemitah a little bit early, which is in fact what we try to do. We try to be mosif chol al hakodesh. However, Rabbi Yishmael, being more maybe pragmatic in his reading of the pasuk, Rabbi Yishmael assumes that this is talking about Shabbos as well, and it's teaching us a special din. Some of you learned it together during Chavrusa. Rabbi Yishmael thinks this is a special din. Becharish Bekatzer Tishbos is teaching me that a special technicality, a din in Hilchah Shabbos, that even though normally we're not allowed to violate Shabbos, of course, Hashem tells us we have to keep Shabbos, but if there's a mitzvah involved, like for example, Ketzirah Sa'omer, we have to harvest something on Shabbos, the Torah tells me to do the Omer, if the Karban HaOmer needs to be brought on the second day of Pesach, that's when we start counting Sefirah, that's a throwback to this thing called the Karban HaOmer. And if it happens to be that the Karban HaOmer falls out on Shabbos, we can do all types of things to violate Shabbos. We go do Kabbalah Shabbos, right, out in the Rova Square, and we're dressed in our finery, and then we go out to the fields, and we violate Shabbos, but it's not a violation. The Torah tells us, Becharish Shebekatzer Tishbos, that only a certain type of ketzirah is asur on Shabbos, but there's not. That's a separate thing. We'll put that on the side for now. So where does Rabbi Yishmael learn this halacha that we're supposed to add? We're supposed to start a little bit earlier. So here's where we really begin. Rabbi Yishmael thinks that the makor, the source, that we're supposed to start whenever there's some period of kedusha that the Torah tells us about, that Hashem tells us about, we should start it a little bit earlier. Where's the source? So follow with me. On line number four and source number one, Rabbi Yishmael Mosif and Michol HaKodesh Minala. How does Rabbi Yishmael know that we're supposed to start periods of Kedusha a little bit early? Nafgalemi Detani, he learned it out from the fact that we teach in a Braisa, Vanisa Misnaf Shasechem Betisha. We should afflict our souls on the ninth. What's that referring to? Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur starts on the 10th, not the ninth. So that's very odd that the Torah would tell us to afflict our souls on the ninth. Rabbi Yishmael tells us, Yochel B'tisha, you might really think that all of the ninth we should fast. Comes along the Torah and tells us, Be'erev. No, at night we should start fasting. Well, hold on a second. Everybody knows from the time that we're children that by the time it's nighttime, it's already the 10th. It's Yom Kippur. So why is he telling me the ninth? So back and forth, Ibe'erev Yochel Mishetachshach, you might think that you should wait all the way till the buzzer, till it starts to become dark. No, it says, B'tisha, you should actually start the fast on the ninth. You see that we should pull back. There's Kedushas Yom Kippur. We should start Kedushas Yom Kippur really from the 9th. A few minutes before, maybe a lot before, whatever you want. You should definitely do it before you hit the buzzer. Now, that's talking about Yom Kippur. But the Gemara continues, because the Pasuk continues. So you can't just stop in the middle. The Pasuk continues. Oh, the Gemara continues. HaKeitzad matchil misanim mibod yom. You should start fasting mibod yom. And then it continues, Ein li elu knisasa v'yitzasa minayin. How do we know that we should add also to the end of Yom Kippur? Meaning, when the clock, you know, strikes and Yom Kippur is finished, we should continue a little bit further past that. We shouldn't just run away from Yom Kippur. How do we know that? Because it says, Me'erev ad erev. Me'erev ad erev. That just like the first Erev, we should start a little early. So to the second Erev, we should end a little bit early. There's a connection between the two of them. Ein li el Yom Kippurim. That only teaches you about Yom Kippur. Maybe we'll say Yom Kippur is like the holiest day of the year. We're up on the rooftop, so then we want to keep a little bit extra. But Shabbos, the regular Shabbos, we have Shabbos every single week. Maybe you would think, Shabbos, we don't have to add all this extra. So the Gemara continues, Shabbosos minayan tamin lomar tishbisu. You should add extra for Shabbos also. And even Yom Tovim will add in also because it says, Shabbatchem. Haketzad kol makom sheyesh shvus mosiv michol hakodesh. Here we see, the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael is that every time there's Kedusha, we add a little bit before. Clear? Imran.
Yes, I was going to say that you told me just now. Why?
So Nimrod asked me during Chavrusa, but I told him ask during Shir. Nimrod said, why don't we learn everything out from Shabbatchem? Shabbatchem will teach me Shabbos, it'll teach me Yom Tov, it'll teach me everything. Why do we need to make individual limudim from each of these things? We have something called Shabbos. So why should we? Yeah. Generally speaking, we learn one thing, but if we're lumping together all of these Mikroi Kodesh, all of these things together, maybe we would allow for such a thing. So he asked me during Chavrusa, but it happens to be that I saw last night when I was just looking over the Mikoros, so I saw again the Torah Tumima comes to the rescue. The Torah Tumima says a fascinating thing. He says that Shabbatchem sounds a lot like what? Whose Shabbos is it?
Your Shabbos,
right? As opposed to the first one, which sounds a little bit more like it's just a Shabbos, you know, but it sounds like Hashem's doing it. So what do we know? Everybody knows. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? One of the big chilukim, one of the big chakiras between Shabbos and Yom Tov. What is it? Exactly. Chazal tells, the Gemara says in Beitza, that Shabbos is Kviya V'kaima. What's it called again?
Shir Klali Zerman.
Shir Klali Zerman. So, right, so Shabbos is Kviya V'kaima. It happens, it descends automatically. I could sit there with my ears and eyes closed and say, no Shabbos, no Shabbos, no Shabbos. And it comes automatically on the seventh day, and that's it. When it comes to Yom Tov, however, there's a major need for the Beit Din to come and sanctify the new month. Then we count the requisite number of days from the new month, and we create the Kedushas Yom Tov, right? So that would answer that as well. Okay. So here's the question. Why do we have this mitzvah? If you look in the Rishonim and the Achronim, there appear to be two fundamental motivations, right? That are driving, that are animating this request or demand of the Torah that we add a little bit of Kedusha onto the day. So Rashi, in source number 3, commenting really on source number 2, the Torah tells us, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished up, he cleaned up shop, 6 days, made the whole world, everything was perfect, right? And it comes to the seventh day, and all of a sudden we're told, Hashem completed everything on the sixth day, v'yichul ha-shamayim v'artz v'chol tzva'am, and then we come to Pasuk Beis in source number 2, Vayechal Elokim b'yom ha-shvi'i melachto asher asah. We're told that Hashem is resting on the seventh day. Hashem finished up on the sixth day and he's resting on the seventh day. So Rashi comments, famous comment of Rashi, that I thought he already finished on the sixth day. No, Shabbos was a unique creation. What was missing? Menucha was missing from the world. We're missing Shabbos. But Rashi says something amazing before that. Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Basar v'dam she'ini yodea ita v'ragav, a person, a human being, who doesn't know how to, you know, like I was joking with some of the guys before, saying, it's not like a human being could sit there with his iPhone and like fruit ninja, fruit ninja, fruit ninja, fruit ninja, until finally Shabbos comes and you hit the buzzer and you realize that Shabbos and you put down your phone. We don't know how to be mitzamtzim ourselves in that way. We can't say, you know, now is day, oh, it's Shabbos. We don't know how to do that. So we have to, says Rashi, we have to make certain. We have to be careful to make certain to pull back a little bit, because we don't know how to do that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, who knows how to be mechaven exactly to the second, kechut ha-sa'ara, Rashi says, like a thread of hair, mamish, like to the second, to the millisecond. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what? Vayachalakim bayom hashvi. Hashem can rest on the seventh day, and he doesn't have to worry about going over, but we have to pull back. Rashi sounds a lot like, and I'll take your question, Rashi sounds a lot like Shabbos is about when we're creating Tosefa Shabbos, we're pulling back to start a little early, we're trying to create some sort of buffer zone. It's a regular siyag. We're trying to make sure that we don't overstep the bounds of Shabbos. Yeah.
But today when we have such accurate readings, do you mean Rashi's answer is relevant?
What do you mean we have accurate readings?
You mean that today we can look up online, you could say 5:41 and 23 seconds. That's when Shabbos starts. That's when Shabbos.
Okay.
Does Rashi answer that?
Okay. I'm not sure. I'd have to ask Rashi. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but let's say you're like in the middle of Africa and you want to keep Shabbos, you can't look it up.
Right. Like my Rebbe Rav Simon always says, Baruch Hashem, gets to go to Rav Simon. Rav Simon always quotes the Gemara that the Torah was not given to Malachi Asharis, not only to mean that it's not given to Malachi Asharis, but it also means that you don't, like we were talking about in Shir the other day, you don't have to have a telescope to see the stars coming out. You don't have to go with a magnifying glass to make sure there's no spots on your esrog. What you see with your eyes, for a regular person, you don't have to have... The Torah wasn't given to only the technologically savvy. It was given to every single person. And Dovi's right, if you're in Africa and you don't have this type of stuff, so we're not going to take back the mitzvah d'oraisa. We're assuming that people don't have to use technology to keep halacha, necessarily, yeah.
I think it also seems that like Rashi isn't... He's not saying it's like a technical, we're not sure exactly when Shabbos gets started. It's also saying that, like, I feel like maybe he's saying there's something more to creating a barrier for yourself to Shabbos than just the fact that it's a second that you might miss it by a second or two. She's also saying you should be careful when you do mitzvos about in general, like, you know, about the timings. And because you want to be careful, you know, we're going to add time. It's not like, because we didn't know the exact. Like, it's more like in general, you want to be careful when you do mitzvos, you know?
So it's a little similar. Jake in the middle asked me, how is this different than like Zrizim Akdim and Lemitzvos? Which sounds a little bit like more of what you're saying. Like, we generally want to have a chavivus towards mitzvahs. We don't want to like wait until the last second to do it and things like that. So the difference is that zrizim makdim mitzvahs means, like I gave that mashal before of like the race starting when they fire the shot. That once the shot is fired, zrizim makdim mitzvahs means do it quickly. Don't like wait around to do it. This is something different. This is pull it back even further. And you're right that there is an element of that shows that we love it. We want to bring it in early. And we could talk about that, but it doesn't sound like Rashi's saying it. Rashi sounds like you're saying a human being doesn't have the ability to say exactly on the button, but Hashem does, so therefore we have to be very, very careful. Yeah, Kira.
It seems like just in Judaism, especially we're afraid that we're not going to be exact, and we're going to break Shabbos, or something like that. We keep 2 days of two seders and two flowers because we weren't sure about like counting the days on it.
Okay.
So those are sort of like it's only specific to those of that of time. So why different mitzvot on Shabbos? They don't seem we're so sure about those. But why is this different?
It's a little bit of a complicated issue. The 2 days that we keep on Yom Tov is because we're not sure exactly what day it is. Shabbos, it's true, but we're talking about milliseconds here. We're talking about seconds, right? So it's not sensitive to wherever you are in the world. Everywhere you are in the world, you have to deal with this issue. We don't know when is it going to be Shabbos. When is it 2 seconds before Shabbos? When is it 5 seconds before Shabbos? So we pull back a few minutes. We haven't seen any time frame for that. But we pull back for a few minutes to make sure we don't overstep the boundaries, right? One last question, and we'll...
This Rashi makes it seem like there's a little bit of a divide. Like it's gonna alter the way we look at all the opinions, because on the one hand, it might be something where we want to increase the Kedushah, and that might be something ideal that we want to apply in as many cases as possible. Whereas Rashi is saying, it almost seems like only when we're unsure, that we might not apply that anywhere else. It's
right.
Like a unique divide.
Right, right. Definitely true. Okay, just parenthetically, because I can't help myself, which is how they ended up in the Makoros in the first place. A remarkable Aruch HaShulchan commenting on the Mechilta. The Mechilta makes this comment as well. It's what happens when you love Torah. You can't help yourself. But the Mechilta says, Zachar v'shamar. Zachar v'shamar, it means that you should be zachar from before. You should remember Shabbos before. And shamar, guard it afterwards. Meaning keep it a little bit before, keep it a little bit after. And gives this wild mashal. This mashal that on the surface is very hard to understand. The mashal is, it's like a wolf. A wolf attacks in the front and attacks in the back and never attacks in the middle of the body. And from here you see, this is exactly what we're talking about. You should, you know, make Shabbos, pull it back a little bit, make sure you start a little early, go a little bit late. What's the mechilta trying to get at? So the Aruch HaShulchan says an amazing thing. He says nobody would ever say in a million years, right? No animal ever turns around and be like, it's okay, the wolf is just biting. He's not biting like my whole body, he's just biting like my neck. Or he's just biting me from the back. That means you're going to die soon, right? So the mechilta says nobody should think, I'm just going to violate like the first few minutes of Shabbos. What's the big deal? Like the first few minutes of Shabbos will get messed up, but I'll still have Shabbos. You know, I'll have a meal with my family. I'll keep the malachos. The idea of Shabbos will be preserved. Just a few minutes in the beginning, a few minutes in the end. So the Mechilta says, "No, go speak to the animals, right, running around the, you know, on the plains of Africa when the lions are coming around, the wolf is coming around. They don't say like, oh, she's okay. She's going to take a little nibble out of my ear, right? We have to be careful with these sentences. That seems to be along the same lines of this Rashi. We're worried about overstepping boundaries as a buffer zone that we're trying to create here. There's another way of looking at it that the Rishonim have. The Rabbeinu Yonah quotes from a certain Rav Yaakov Merolins. Rav Yaakov Merolins, Orleans is a place in France. We can call it Old Orleans, not New Orleans. And in fact, I have insider information that New Orleans in Louisiana was actually named after Old Orleans. Right? So this is really Old Orleans. And Rav Yaakov Merolins was a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. And he writes the following thing. Rabbeinu quotes from Rav Yaakov Merolins, that even though you only have to add a tiny bit of Shabbos, I'll say a little bit outside, only have to add a tiny bit to your Shabbos to make sure it sounds like what Rashi's saying, but if you add more, let's say you decide to add 25 minutes, or like in Yerushalayim, we add 40 minutes, right? 40 minutes of extra Shabbos. So what happens if you say, I'm going to keep Shabbos now, I'm deciding it's Shabbos, let's say I even make a verbal declaration, not so clear if you have to do that. You make a verbal declaration, and all of a sudden you say, ooh, I wanted to check my email one more time. Can you do it? So Rav Yaakov Merlin says you absolutely cannot, because once you accepted Shabbos, you created Kedusha Shabbos in a certain sense. He gives an amazing example. He says it's kind of like truma. If you have a huge pile of wheat, truma, you have to take truma from that before you're allowed to eat it. How much truma do you have to take, Minotaurah? One kernel. That's it. One kernel separated aside, goes to the Kohen, that's it. What happens if I decide to take, like, I don't know, 40%, you know, 40% of my truma, give it to the Kohen? Shame truma, chal on it? What happens if a czar eats it, a non-Kohen eats it? Chayv karis. Serious. You created truma, even though you only had to do a little bit. So he quotes, Rabbeinu Yonah says, that if you add more Shabbos, let's read it inside for a second. He says, if you add more Shabbos, here it is, even though it's dai b'kol shehu, afilu hachi imhu mosif har be'yoser v'chlal Shabbos have v'chayev alav. You are absolutely obligated to keep that Shabbos. If you add, that's real Kedusha. Sounds like, although we can't necessarily prove it, it sounds a little bit like we have a matchup over here. On the one hand, we have Rashi, or we have a head-to-head. Rashi, on the one hand, is saying that Kedusha's Tosefet Shabbos is all about what? You're not creating any special Kedusha over there. You're just trying to make sure you don't step on Shabbos' toes. But it sounds, at least a flickering of a hint, it sounds like over here from Rabbeinu Yonah quoting from Rav Yaakov of Old Orleans, that we're actually creating something. We're creating a Kedusha that wasn't there before. You know, like there's a Kiruv organization called Turn Friday Night into Shabbos? This is one better. This is Turn Friday Afternoon into Shabbos. Your mom is creating Shabbos in the middle of a Friday afternoon. Yeah. So that 18 more minutes is assuming, meaning, who's the 18 more minutes for? People who were not Mekabel Shabbos. If my wife lights Shabbos candles, and she says, oh, but I have 18 more minutes. She can't do Malachas Shabbos candles. She's Mekabel Shabbos with the Hadlakas Neros. Right?
Even like if you haven't established Shabbos yet, you still have those 18 more minutes, even though the actual...
Right, well, you don't have all 18, no. You have to do a little Tosefes.
The 18 also assumes that you're starting the counting from 18 minutes before Shkiyah.
Nachon.
Meaning, it's not like it's Shabbos, this mana of Shia has already happened. It's that we were already being took like mostly on Shabbos 18 minutes, and you're going into that time.
Nachum. Okay, so before we just, I'll take questions in a second. Before we actually jump into see, is this really a machlokas or not? Is this, how do we, everyone hears the machlokas? On the one hand, you have Rashi, who seems to be saying it's all about creating a buffer zone. That's it. It's a safety feature that Hashem built that there should be a buffer zone to make sure we don't violate Shabbos. And it sounds like there are at least some others in the Rishonim and the Achronim who seem to be saying it's not just about a buffer zone, it's about actually creating Kedusha before the day comes. We're able to actually create some metaphysical Kedusha on Friday. Good? So before we actually get into this, I wish Rav David was here, but so you see a lot in the type of Svarim that Rav David loves to learn, and I love to learn also, but you see in this language of, is this called Shabbos Mamish? Or not Shabbos Mamish. That's how they're magdir this machlokas between Rashi and the others. Is it Shabbos Mamish? Meaning what? You're actually creating Shabbos on Friday. Or is it not Shabbos Mamish? We're just abstaining from Malacha, but it's not actual Shabbos. Right? So, again, I get the quote of Simon again. About 5-6 years ago, when I first even heard of the concept of Tosefa Shabbos, I've probably heard about it before, but when I first heard about it in some of these ways, so Rav Simon pointed out there's no machlokes, Shabbos Mamish or no Shabbos Mamish. A disclaimer. The whole conversation we're going to have in the next half hour, it's kind of, the question is not Shabbos Mamish or not. The question is, how much Shabbos is it? Because the Gemara says, and then I'll take your questions, the Gemara says in source number 5, the Gemara in Yuma, tells us that v'anisim es nafsho seichem kol melechas lo sasu, we have to do inoy nefesh on Yom Kippur, we have to not eat, we have to fast, we have to do all these things, and we're also not allowed to do malacha. But the Torah goes out of its way to say two times, malacha, on the second line, first, malacha be'etzem ayum hazeh, and on the second to last line, right in the middle, that lo sa'ana be'etzem ayum hazeh, that the iser kares of eating on Yom Kippur, or doing malacha on Yom Kippur, is only talking about be'etzem hayom hazeh. What does it mean, be'etzem hayom hazeh? On the actual day itself, not including the tosefes. So everybody agrees that there's no onshin for Tosefes of Kares, of Skila, these things. It's not Mamish Shabbos. If it was Mamish Shabbos, we would Mamish give you Skila, we would Mamish give you Kares. But we're not Mamish giving you Skila, we're not Mamish giving you Kares. The question is, how much Shabbos is it? Is this just solely a buffer zone? Or is there a little bit Shabbos here, and we'll see how that plays out in a second. Yeah, questions? Yeshua.
I have two comments to make. One is, can we say that maybe the argument is really whether the Tosefes is a Yira or an Ava? Like, is it like a fear that you're not gonna, that you're gonna, that you're gonna do something later, or is an Ava, we love Shabbos so much that we're gonna try to add more to it?
Beautiful. So the summer that I was in Morasha BMP, not the Kolo, which was my second year out of Israel that summer, Rav Tzvi Savolovsky Shlita was the Rosh Kolel, and he actually suggested, and I've heard him suggest on a number of occasions, that the Ramban and Parshas Yisro, the Ramban who makes this split between Zachor and Shamor, that Zachor is all about the Ases and the Ava, he actually uses the terminology of Ava and Yira, right? And the Shamor is all about the Los Ases and about the kind of Yira of violating Shabbos, actually is this split. He did suggest exactly that. That Ramban in Yisro goes with those two parts. That's not one or the other, but it's both, and that he did suggest that. Yeah, second, you had a second comment.
If we're going to say that it's like extra, there's extra Kedusha, you know, if you try to bring in extra Kedusha before Shabbos and after Shabbos, that only really applies to Shabbos though, right? Because on Yom Tov is in the Shabbos Seira, which you wouldn't be able to intrinsically bring in before.
You know, well, there are other types of Kedusha aside from the Shabbos Seira, meaning.
Isn't that what's unique to Yom
Tov? Let's say making Kiddush is not an issue of Malacha, but is an issue of, if it's not really Shabbos, I can make Kiddush. That seems kind of weird. Maybe yes, maybe no. We're going to see in a second. Right? Yeah. Zerman's are teaming up on me. Yeah.
What is the right to think that we can add Kedusha to Shabbos? Shabbos is something that Hashem gives. It's Hashem's day of rest. I feel like we are overstepping our boundaries by adding or subtracting to it. Wouldn't that be like a Baal Posit for?
Unless the Torah says Tishbisu, right? The Torah tells us we're not overstepping. Hashem's saying, please,
but
increase.
It's the Kedusha of Shabbos that Hashem gave it. Wouldn't that be?
Well, that's what we're trying to see. Is it really, does it, oh, you're saying you want to close the discussion right now. There's no way that a human being can create Kedusha like the way Hashem can create Kedusha. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's confusing.
So, I agree. That's why there's no Skila. That's why there's no Kares, right? That was the disclaimer that I made. Nimrod.
Wow.
Did
isn't this talking specifically about Yom Kippur? Because it's Be'etzem Yom Kippur, and not on the, how can we take that over to Shabbos? Because it says, in Shabbos, it doesn't say about Be'etzem.
The Be'etzem.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good question. Exactly how we make the jump to Shabbos. That's a good question. Not exactly for now, but that's a good question. Okay? So, how can we see who is corrector, who is more corrector, where the arrows point? Are there any indicators? So I first thought, maybe we could just very simply, we'll put this away, we'll make it very smooth. If we could somehow figure out whether this mitzvah is really d'oraisa or is only d'rabbanan, because we could still say, there's room to say maybe this sounds like an asmachta, maybe it doesn't sound... If we could say that Tosefta Shabbos is d'rabbanan, so that would maybe point more in the way of the siyag, the rabbanan are always making siyagim around the Torah. And if it's d'oraisa, so then our ability, if the Torah instructs us to eat on the Shabbos, Hashem is the one who determines what day it is. It sounds like it's really determinate. Like, we're bothered by the fact, how can we turn Friday into Shabbos? Hashem is telling us to do it, to turn into Shabbos. It's d'oraisa. Hashem is telling us, make Friday into Shabbos. I'm telling you can do it, even though it sounds like something that's hard to do. So maybe that would be easy to do. So, okay, you look in the Gemara in Beitza. And the Gemara in Beitza has a fascinating discussion. Amar le Rava bar Rav Chanin la Abaye, that one of the Talmidei Chacham in the Beis Medrash asked Abaye, why is it that we see people, a little bit of something to think about, not saying we've necessarily passed like this, but a little something to think about, that he asked Abaye, why is it we see people, you know, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we see people in the Beis Medrash during Kabbalah Shabbos, dancing and clapping and doing all these things which are usher on Shabbos, and not allowed to do these things, and we don't stop them. We don't stop people from doing that. Right, so I'm not saying it's usher, you have to, the different parameters, but they're doing it in an usher way, why don't we stop it? So, Abai answers him and says, we have a klal that we find in many places, which is, Hanach lem Yisrael mutav shu shogigim, leave the Jewish people alone, let them do it. If you know for sure they're going to keep doing it, they're not going to listen to you. The mitzvah of tochacha is only when someone's going to listen to you. That's the way the Gemara says, that's generally the way we paskin. So, if they listen to you, that's how we're going to go. But if they're shogig now, and by telling them they're just going to do it b'mezid, don't tell them to do it. Don't tell them to do it. So that's why we let them kind of violate these isurim of clapping and dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then the Gemara asks a question. Here, come join me over here in source number 6, guys. Yeah? Third line in. Vahani mili b'dirabanan. Clapping. Dancing, are these things Isur D'Oraisa or Isur D'Rabbanan on Shabbos and Yom Tov? D'Rabbanan. We're afraid that we're going to break something, fix it, right? All these different... So, these are maybe only by Dinei D'Rabbanan we have this principle of better let the Jewish people make mistakes by accident than make them do it on purpose. Maybe we'd say that's true by D'Rabbanan because it's just a safeguard anyway. But if you're actually violating an Isur D'Oraisa, we're just going to let you go because you're too stubborn to listen to our rebuke. Maybe we should say that by D'Oraisa we should let you have it. So the Gemara says, really? Velohi. That's not true. We don't let you have it. We don't give you tochacha on a d'oraisa because, look, lo shnabi d'oraisa, lo shnabi d'rabbanan. There's no difference between d'oraisa and d'rabbanan. Lo amrin and lo havi lo midi. We don't say anything to these people. If they're doing isurim b'shogeg, and we know they're not going to listen when we tell them to do it, to stop doing it, so then we're just being machshel them to do it in a worse way. And look, well, I'll prove to you that we even have this by d'oraisas. Why? Because the hot of Sefes Yom Kippurim Daraisahu, Ba'achli Vashasu Acha Hashecha Velo Aminan Lu Velo Midi. Because there are people who are eating up to the buzzer on Yom Kippur. Not on Yom Kippur, but they eat right up to the buzzer on Yom Kippur, and we don't stop them. So you see that even by Daraisas, what? Even by Daraisas, we don't rebuke people, and better that they should be Beshogi and not do B'mezin. What do you see from this Gemara? Very clear. That Tosefta Shabbos is. Sometimes Yom Kippur at least is D'oraisa, 100%. This is the Raya from here. It's D'oraisa, no question about it. Okay? So just give me 1 second and I'll take your questions. Yeah? Assuming that it's D'oraisa, so then, isn't it strange? We have a Gemara that seems to say Yom Kippur is D'oraisa. Isn't that strange that the Torah would tell me to make a siyag, assuming that Rashi's right? We're trying to figure out, is Rashi correct? The whole purpose of making Tosefta anything is to create a buffer zone. But is that not strange that the Torah is telling me to make a siyag around the d'oraisa? The Torah tells me what to do, and the Rabbanan make the siyagim. So in fact, there is just good shir klali, it's good to know klalim of Judaism. So Farachi was complaining before that there's not enough chasidus in the Makoros. But this is chasidus. Rav Yosef Engel was the Sacha Chavar chasid. He was a very great, he was not a rabbi, he was a chasid of the Sacha Chavar rabbi. And Rav Yosef Engel writes in Lekach Tov, which is one of the great works of Lamdas, of the previous generation, he writes in Klal Ches, which is a very fun. You want to have a good day one day? You want to just have fun? Just take the whole afternoon and read Klal Ches in Lekach Tov. Basically what he does is he tries to figure out all the different cases, all the places we have. This is what he always does this stuff. Rav Yosef Engel, you want to have a good life? Learn Rav Yosef Engel. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Zengel all the time, you know what he does? He just sits there and he thinks of like crazy questions. Like, do we ever hear of a case where there's a siyag that's a deraisa, where the Torah makes like a fence around itself? So let me think for like 3 seconds, and I'll make like a 50-page thing about all the different places we find where there's a siyag on a deraisa. One of those places we find the siyag on a deraisa, he lists in source number 7, that he says, I decided to think about this a little bit. And the thing is, are there some siyagim? And he makes a whole list of all these different things. Siyagim on an isur deraisa mitam siyag, right? So he says, the fifth one that he mentions our Medrash Rabbah from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that a Basar Adam doesn't know how to be exact in his time, so Hashem made a siyag around his own Torah. We find many cases like that, right? So, and he makes a whole list of them. So maybe it's not so clear that just because it's deraisa, all of a sudden Rashi is not correct. It could be that it's a buffer zone, but we see that the Torah sometimes makes buffer zones around itself. Okay? So we haven't proven anything from the fact that it's deraisa, but now we know that's deraisa. That's a good thing. It's good to know that it's deraisa. Yes, my friend?
So we're saying that now, according to the Gemara, is that although we know the mitzvah is deraisa, we still can't prove either way whether it's a siyag or whether it's a...
We know that it's deraisa, but we have not proven whether it's a siyag deraisa or it's just a regular good old fashioned deraisa, because we know that there are two types, like Rav Yosef Engel taught us. Yeah.
But regardless of either word, are we also looking to like, differentiate between whether or not Tosefta Shabbos is a part of Shabbos or whether it's a mitzvah on its own? Are we looking to see whether maybe that could help us decide?
You're saying whether it's like appended to the mitzvah of Shabbos itself?
Right, or it's an independent mitzvah.
So we haven't done that yet. We have not done that yet. But I'll just correct you on your correction. You pronounced it as Tosfos Shabbos. That's probably the more correct, the way that it's spelled in all of the Rishonim and the Acharonim is Tosfos Shabbos. But we pronounce it Tosefos. I don't know why people do that. But you were correct the first time. Right? Your Freudian slip was correct, yeah.
Can we imply from here that this is not just a suggestion, that it's actually a requirement?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a requirement. I haven't seen anything to suggest that this is just, you know, if you're in the mood, sounds like a requirement, yeah.
In the Gemara, if a person who's acting b'shogeg is really patur b'chalal, the Gemara makes sense. But if he is chayav b'dei shemayim, we just can't punish him in this world.
Who said he's patur? No, he's chayav. It's just that we don't want to make him more chayav by making him amazed.
But if
or her, for that matter. Rambam assumes this is women.
Why?
I don't know why.
If you act in b'shogeg, you're not patur.
If you act b'shogeg, you're patur. Since when?
Because you didn't know any better. We wouldn't punish you.
We have carbonos every time you do a shogeg, you bring carbon. Right? Only for an ones, your pater. Yeah. Okay? Great. So, let's learn one other Gemara. Mix things up a little bit. Okay? A test case. Let's see what you think from this Gemara. The Gemara says an amazing chiddush. Ready for this? Source number 10. Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin, Rav Tzali Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Rav used to daven. I mean, it's not such a chiddush. We do this all the time. Rav used to daven on Erev Shabbos, the tefillah of Shabbos. The nerve. Not only that, but the Gemara continues that Rav Yoshia would daven the tefillah of Motzei Shabbos while it was still Shabbos. Now listen to this. Now things get really crazy. The Gemara asks, Rav Tzali Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Omer Kiddush Al Kos? Hold on a second. Okay, so he davened the Ma'ariv a little bit early. Fine. We do that sometimes during the week also. Did he make Kiddush on Friday while the sun was still shining? Or not? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Amr of Nachman, Mispal Adam, Shal Shabbos, Be'erev Shabbos, V'Amr Kiddush Al Kos, V'Holch Sal Kavase. We paskin, you can daven, you can make Kiddush, and the sun is still shining. Now we don't paskin like this, but I'll tell you, there's an amazing Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen was a great, great posek. He wrote one of the early Shalos and Shuvos Svarim, but it was unique because he didn't really get questions. He wrote the questions himself. He set himself up. He wrote questions and he wrote his own answers. It's called Trumas HaDeshen because there are three, for those who like Gematria, there are 354 questions, Deshen. There are 354 questions in the Trumas HaDeshen. So that's why he called it Trumas HaDeshen. And he mentions there, not so happy about it, but he mentions Gedolei HaRishonim who would be Mekabel Shabbos 3 or 4 hours early, which is a huge chiddush, because we normally assume from Plag Mincha and on, that's the earliest you can accept it. 3-4 hours early, they would be Mekabel Shabbos. They would go home, they'd make kiddush, they'd eat their meal, the sun would still be shining, they'd take a walk around the Danube River. They would go around the river, and they'd come home, and it was still day. Right? It's unbelievable. So the Gemara seems to say you can make Kiddush, you can daven all on Friday. No, is this a siag or is this like we're making Kiddush on Friday? It's not Shabbos yet. What do you guys say? Sound like Rashi? Is it a buffer zone or this is... Does not sound like Rashi.
Isn't there like an element of oneg Shabbos, where like you don't want to be like exposed to other malacha, like on Shabbos, because like you know, even if you're not doing it, you just want to be like in an atmosphere where like everything is Shabbos. A lot of you want to walk around during the day when you already start Shabbos and you see.
Well, I like to go on walks like on at like 1 p.m. on Shabbos. Shabbos, like I like to go on a walk. Walks are nice.
Yeah, but everyone that's on Shabbos when everyone else is doing Shabbos. Like, why would you like? You know what I'm saying?
Why would I want to go for a walk on Friday?
When like you hear like honking and like, all that.
Honking. Walking around the river, Danny River. Come on, Shmuel Sedesh, no honking. They had a good time. They like to walk around the river, right? So, but it's a good question. Okay, so this does not sound at all. This does not sound at all like Rashi. This sounds like we're making Kiddush on Friday. This is not about malacha. This is about making Kiddush. So before we get to that, and we spend like 5 minutes on this. And then we'll start to do a little bit more of a wrap-up, okay? Because soon we have only about 18 minutes left. We make a matzah, okay? So here we go. So there's one little piece to this puzzle that we didn't really discuss yet, which is the Shitas HaRambam. The Shitas HaRambam is mind-blowing. You know what the Rambam says? Let's look together. Okay? Source number 8, the Rambam. Tell me what's peculiar about this Rambam. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, right? Shvi'is Zasar. Perek Aleph, Halacha Vav. Kishem Shishvus Malacha Bo Bin Bayom Bin Balayla, Kach Shvus Li'ino Bin Bayom Bin Balayla. Just like we have to be careful during the day and at night not to do Malacha, we also have to be careful day and night. We start fasting already from the nighttime, all those things, the whole nighttime. We don't start from the morning like other fasts, right? Now, but then the Rambam writes, but don't forget, you don't just start at night to start fasting. When do you actually start fasting? V'tzarech lehosef michol al ha-kodesh, b'knisaso u'b'yitziyaso. You have to add a little bit. Start Yom Kippur a little early. To say Tefillah Zaka. It's good. Get a good seat in shul. And then stay also a little bit afterwards. Right? And he quotes the pasuk that we know so well from the first source in Rosh Hashanah. V'anisim es nafreseichem b'tisha l'chodesh b'erev. Right? It says b'tisha l'chodesh b'erev. Rambam's hinting to that. When in the ninth at night? Is it the ninth or is it at night? That's a little bit before the night. That's Tosefes Yom Kippurim. Kilomar. The Rambam says, as if to say, Hitchil litzom ulis anos. Everyone circle those two words. Litzom ulis anos. Me'erev tisha hasamach lasir. You should start fasting and stop drinking a little bit before the 10th, on the 9th. So all the Nosei Kelim jump on the Rambam and they say, hold on Rambam, you forgot one very important thing. We also have to stop, we don't just start fasting, but we also have to stop what? Early doing malacha. Right, so the Magid Mishnah says, it sounds like from the Rambam that there is only such a thing. There is only such a thing. There's the only thing that exists. There's only something called Tosefes Yom HaKippurim in terms of its inoy, in terms of the restrictions, in terms of the afflictions that we bring upon ourselves. Aval lo ba'asiyas malacha, lo ba'yom HaKippurim, velo b'shabbasos. On both sides, the whole shir is a fake. There's no such thing as to Tosefes Shabbos. Shall go home. The Rambam says there's no such thing as Tosefes Shabbos. It doesn't exist. Oh, you'll say the Gemara says that, you know, from the allusion to the pasuk, it says Shabbos, Shabbatchem, Shabbos, Yom Tov. Rambam says, no, I don't want to hear about it. That was part of the shock of the tire of the Gemara. I don't want to hear about it. But I have a question for the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that there's no such thing as Tosefes Shabbos. So how is the Rambam letting me make Kiddush on Friday? It's not Shabbos. The Gemara says clearly that Rav used to make Kiddush on Shabbos, on Friday, excuse me. Rambam's in big trouble. So if you want to have fun in the footnote later, you can have fun in the footnote. Some people hold the Rambam holds there's such a thing as Tosefes Shabbos derabanan. Some people hold that the Rambam holds that there's such a thing as Tosefes Shabbos d'oraisa, the Radvaz. Mind-blowing. The Radvaz says that even though the Rambam doesn't record it anywhere, Vada, he holds that there's Tosefes Shabbos d'oraisa, just like everybody else. But you can take a look there. But assuming that, like the Pashtus, like everybody else assumes, the Rambam does not hold ki hu zeh, like the Kesef Mishnah writes, like the Beis Yosef writes, like the Bir Halacha writes, everybody writes, there's no such thing as Tosefta Shabbos for the Rambam. So how are you making Kiddush? No? I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, Jake. That would be even a bigger chiddush. That would be saying it's not about creating a buffer zone at all. It's only about creating extra kedusha, right? I'm not saying you can't say that.
Yeah,
you just did.
I don't think that makes a lot of sense. But.
Right. Okay. Could say that. You said that. Yeah.
The Rambam seems to view like all of the parts of Shabbos that are like kind of ritual, where it's like kiddush or dala, as not necessarily bringing in Shabbos or causing Shabbos to leave, but just kind of rituals that we do along with those times.
Beautiful. So a true student of Rav David Silverstein, I could tell. So you learned that, very good.
Excellent.
So what saves the Rambam? It's really not such a great question. You get all sweaty about it and you get nervous for the Rambam, like the Rav describes, you're sitting on the bed and you hear your father's trying to resolve the Rambam and that whole, everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? So, but it's not really, it's not so scary, right? The Gemara says that Rav would do what? He would make Kiddush on Friday. He would make Havdalah on Shabbos, though. No one's going to tell me that Rav was making Havdalah on Shabbos like it was no longer Shabbos. Right? We're not claiming that when he made Havdalah on Shabbos, he like somehow made it mutter to do Malacha. So the Rambam is just going to say, like Rav Soloveitchik said all those years ago, probably in some Shir Zecher, his father, his wife, or his mother, or maybe during regular Seder, that the Rav suggested, and others suggested as well, that Havdalah is more about making a heker. It's like almost Shabbos. So you could do it whenever. It's just, you're kind of like blowing the trumpet, like, bum, 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 Shabbos is coming. And you could do that before. And you could make Havdalah after, because you're saying, bum, 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 Shabbos is soon leaving. But it doesn't matter if you do it before or after. That doesn't matter. And that's all the Rambam is saying, right? And the Rambam actually kind of says that himself in source number 11. You could take a look there. And so everyone assumes you wouldn't be making it. There's no Havdalah on a candle. Right? The Gemara in Pesachim, I think, talks about how Rebbe would be mefazer. He would make certain My wife just the other day, why was I not home for Havdalah? I don't know why I wasn't home for Havdalah. I don't recall. Whatever. For some reason, I wasn't home for Havdalah in time. She wanted to be able to do things. So she went down. We have these amazing Yemenite downstairs neighbors, these elderly chevra, so my wife went down to hear Havdalah. And of course, she got the laughing. This is the laughing after Hagafen. But she said, like, he made the bracha of Hagafen, and he made the bracha of Besamim. And then all of a sudden, they like got into like a whole conversation. They like started talking, like, you know, it was like a whole thing. And then afterwards, they made the other brachas, and so the Gemara I'm talking about, Rebbe used to do that. Rebbe or Yudanasi used to do that. He would be mefazer. He would make the brachas. And then, so you don't have to do it with the candle. It's there's a whole shaila from Tzvi Pesach Frank, I think, where he says that if you make the bracha of Borim Rehaish, so then, like, if for some reason you need to, you could, like, put out the candle already. You know, the candle doesn't need to be there until the end. It's like, we associate the candle because it's NCSY, I guess, you know, like, the candle is there. But and that's good. That's a good thing. It's good that we have symbols in a certain sense. But that's not, the candle is not really what's making the Havdalah. Okay, so that, we saved the Rambam there for a second. And we also kind of proved that this Gemara is not really such a good test case. Because if this Gemara was legitimately talking about creating, making Kiddush on Friday, so that would be the end of the discussion. We would know that it's not just a buffer zone, but we can actually create some sort of Kiddush on Shabbos. Yeah.
I think the Gemara also is very troubling because it seems to imply that it's one thing to take on Malacha before and do like the Seva Shabbos and then take on Malacha before Shabbos really starts, but it's another thing to do it to actively do like Kavod Shabbos, which is like Kiddush, and like Oneg Shabbos, like you're having a meal, like you're doing Oneg Shabbos. Like, those things seem to be very, like, those things seem to be, like something that's, like, very specific to Shabbos and not, like, can't do during other times. So even if you're Tosefes, it's very puzzling that they let you not only stop doing Malacha, but also do, like, aspects that are really
particular. We do it all the time. We do it in the summer all the time. Every camp in the world does it. Right? They make Shabbos, I don't know, like, 5 o'clock, like, 2 hours before, right? An hour and a quarter before. They start from, like, Plag Mincha. Right, and that's when every camp in the world does that. Right, and we have our meal, and then we come outside, and it's like starting to get dark, and it's like, that's weird. You're right, it is weird, but we could do it. Right, sounds like we could do it. Okay, So, how do we paskin the mice on this? We paskin with the Rambam? Chas v'shalom. We don't paskin with the Rambam. Right? If you look in, a lot of times we paskin with the Rambam, but not here. So in source number 12, you have the Shulchan Aruch that quotes, Yesh omrim shetzarach lehosif michol lakodesh, that there are those who say, in deference to the Rambam, that's the way the Bir Halacha explains it, Yesh omrim, there are some who say that you should add mikodesh alachol. However, rest assured, you look in the Bir Halacha, he writes Yesh omrim to, you know, the Rambam doesn't hold there's such a thing as Tosefta Shabbos, but everybody else does. And he uses a very strong lashon from the Eli Rabba. The Eli Rabba writes, Naktinen ka Yesh Omrim, we paskin like the Yesh Omrim, there is Tosefta Shabbos, Mishum de Kol HaRishonim Sovrim Kim. Because everybody holds, right, it's a gang up on the Rambam. Everybody holds against the Rambam, we paskin, there is Tosefta Shabbos, and even the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way in Siman Reish Tzadi Gimel. Fine. The last few minutes that we have together, I'm going to first take a question, and then we're going to get to what the end of this year is, yeah.
The whole idea of Bag Mincha seems to only be brought up here. I mean, maybe there are other sources that are on the sheet.
There are tons. So it's a whole other thing.
Is there like totally separate reasoning for that, or is that also coming from, like, is that some synthesis of the Rambam where we still want it to be related to, like, close to the actual coming of...
So I'll just mention Derech Agav in about 60 seconds. There are a preponderance of opinions about exactly how long we should try to be most safe. Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah uses the lashon of if you do a half hour, you're yotzei l'chol adayos. If you did a half hour, then for sure you did for everybody. But really, the minimum shear you have posting was like 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. All these different measurements of how much you need. Lamala, in terms of like what's the earliest you could be makabel. So the most radical shita that I've ever seen in the 30 years of my life is the Pnei Yoshua, who suggests that maybe b'shas adchak 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 after chatzos. Because already the sun is starting to set, it's already called like Har of Shemesh, it's already... But that's too radical, even for a young man like myself. And the Trumas HaDeshen, who wasn't happy about it, talks about people doing it 3-4 hours, sometimes in old age homes, things like that. We need to do Tosefta Shabbos, not because we love Shabbos so much, but because the people need to go to sleep, right? So sometimes we have other... But between 2 minutes and Chatzos, those are the... But it's not so clear. The Rishonim are not so helpful in giving us the exact time yet.
There's a more general question than I think that I just thought about. Is that considered against us,
right? You'd be violating a certain Shabbos? But by bringing Shabbos in, we're stopping the 6 days of work too early?
Because that's 6 full days.
Right, so we're actually going to see something similar to that when it comes to, it's an interesting question. I think it's more of a reshus. That's what the Gemara Brachos understands it as a reshus to work, no?
Obviously, it makes like a value, but probably not a bad word.
Right. Okay, it's a value. Yeah. So maybe. What's the line? Write it in your safer, right? Write it in your safer. Okay? Ooh, I'm not going to take the question. I'll take it after, okay? So just a few more test cases just to see this out. It happens to be that the whole world loves this because it's like 4, 5, 6 Tazes in a row. The Taz. Taz was a great man. So the Taz has this kind of like ongoing discussion about whether, and this is where everyone gets this lashon of Tosefta Shabbos, is Shabbos Mamish or not. Because the Taz seems to keep saying it's Shabbos Mamish. Taz doesn't mean it's Shabbos Mamish. No Karis. There's no Karis Yom Kippur. There's no Skila for Shabbos. Okay? It's not Shabbos Mamish. But the Taz says that it's a whole lot like Shabbos. How is it a whole lot like Shabbos? So we'll just go very, very quick. In sources 14, 15, 16, and 17, the Taz over and over and over again keeps arguing, sometimes with the Marshal, sometimes with others. With the Marshal, yeah, with Rav Shlomo Luria, and sometimes with others, about whether or not there really is an ability to do things before Shabbos that we really should be waiting till nightfall to do. So for example, look in source number 14. He quotes from the Sefer Chassidim. How do we know, just parenthetically, who knows, how do you know you're supposed to have 3 meals on Shabbos?
What?
How do you know you're supposed to have 3 meals on Shabbat? Rebellion? Hayom. Hayom, right? It says Hayom 3 times in the Pasuk. Hayom 3 times in the Pasuk. Very good, it says Hayom 3 times in the Pasuk. There's actually a sheet of Rav Chitka. Rav Chitka's 4th meal. Some Hasidim do that. That's a lot of eating. I do not do that. Some Hasidim do that. That Rav Chitka's meal is, he says, Hayom, Hayom, Hayom is talking about the 3 meals during the day, but then there's one more that you have to have Friday night. Right? But then, you like that number, huh? So he's going to start eating Rav Chitka's meal. Yeah. Rav Chitka is very into, I guess, Rav Chitka, yeah, he's a good, he's good. So the Sefer Chassidim says, what happens if you made Shabbos early, and then you want to have your meal? right? You have to. There's a mitzvah deraisa to no, right? There's a mitzvah to have three meals on Shabbos, right? So shebelel Shabbos tzarich shiyeh gmar hasuda balayla. Even if you start Shabbos early, make sure you have a little bit of bread at the end. Make sure you finish your meal by the end. Why? Because you need to have a little bit of your suda happen hayom. Because even the Rabbanan who say it means the three hayoms during the day, no one's going to, it means the three in the day and even the nighttime one, they're not going to say it means before it's even hayom. It's not hayom yet. So that's what the Sefer Chazim says. It says you need to finish your meal at night because, presumably, even though you're Mosif Shabbos, that was only what? A buffer zone. That was only to protect you from halacha. But in terms of eating your meal, the obligation to have your meal, can't do it. Comes along the Taz and says, no way. The Taz says, Yatza Shapir Afilu Gomer Kodem Alayla. The Taz argues with the Marshal, who quotes the Sefer Chassidim, and says, you can even eat your meal and finish it and go for a walk around the river even before it's dark out. That's generally how we paskin, although it's good to eat more after also. Yeah, it's good to eat at night also. Okay, you have another machlokes. This is kind of like the inverse. The Taz treats the Kedusha as so serious that you could actually infringe on something else. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says that when we're counting the Omer, it should be Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyana. We should count 7 complete weeks of Sviras Omer. So there's a hakpada that the Taz quotes. The Taz says, Ma'achrin lahatchil arvis, the hakdama that he has to all his whole thing in Hilchah Shavuos. Ma'achrin lahatchil arvis b'knisas Shavuos, k'dei shiyeh yemei Sviras Tamimos. What would happen if I started Shavuos a little too early? It would really be what? It wouldn't just be I'm not doing malacha, it would be really Shavuos, which means it's no longer Sviras Omer, which means that I just cut into the, kind of like what you were just asking, right? It's cutting into the 6 days of the weeks. This is like, that's what I said, we're going to see this Taz in a second. It's cutting into the actual Tamimos. That's a big chiddush, but that's what he says. Right? The Magen Aram says the same thing. We're cutting into the Tamimos of those 7 weeks of Sviras Omer. Okay, then he has one other machlokes by Shmini Atzeres, but I'll leave you with a mystery. Okay? I'll leave you with a mystery. And then, because Farachi is going to pass out, otherwise I'll just say one quick thought from the Svar Makadoshim, and then we'll end for lunch. Okay? He has a whole discussion by Shmini Atzeres. You could look at that, but I'll just... A little mystery. It's okay, a little mystery. Okay, the Taz writes in the Dinim of Shofar. Amazing. In the middle of his whole great case. In the middle, he's giving his whole spiel, his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, all of a sudden he enters the words Shaila. I got like a question, and I'm not going to write a sefer of Shavos and Shuvos. You know, Shavos and Shuvos Taz. So I'm just going to put it right here in the middle of the commentary. So look what he writes. Shaila. Kol Echad Hayilahem Be'erev Rosh Hashanah Shofar. There was a certain congregation that had a shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Ubo Shodidim. The pirates came and stole it. Right? Someone came and ransacked the shul. And they took a lot of stuff. And one of the things they took was this funny-looking ram's horn in the corner. And the next morning, everyone came to shul. No shofar. It's the worst Rosh Hashanah ever. No shofar. The gazos of inatu gama shofar v'sholchu akal. So this is amazing. So what they do? Ein yeish ba'olam klal. You see? They didn't give up. What they do? They sent a shliach to go try to find the shofar. So they went and they chased him down, trying to find the shofar, chasing down the pirates. Right? The guy with the peg leg is very exciting. And they're trying to chase down the shofar. Finally, they get so fed up. It's already the second day of Rosh Hashanah. No shofar. And it was a 3-day. It was Rosh Hashanah into Shabbos. So they said, you know what? Forget it. What does the Medrash say? Like the beginning of the year and its curses. Forget it. The shofar's gone. Let's make Shabbos. You know, let's bring the whole world to Shabbos. Adam and Chava also messed up. We'll just bring it into Shabbos and everything will be okay. And they, you know, they start. They say L'chun R'anana. They do the whole thing. And they get to Baruch Hu. They say Baruch Hu. And Mekavel Shabbos. And all of a sudden, the guy walks in with the shofar. And it's still day outside. It's not even nighttime yet. They did early Shabbos. They just said, let's forget this Rosh Hashanah. Let's go to the Shabbos. We don't have a shofar. We're so depressed. Let's start Shabbos early. And all of a sudden, the guy walks in with the shofar. Can they blow it or not? Or I guess, did they blow it or not?
It's
a joke, right? Blow it. Did they blow? Did they? Yeah. Okay. Did they blow it or not? Right. So they accepted Shabbos. Can they blow the shofar, or can they not blow the shofar? So surprisingly, the Taz says. What does he say? Think about it. What's the Taz's shita? The Taz says once you were makabel, it's really you were makabel Shabbos. That's it.
But the guy
the guy that walked in didn't call the Shabbos yet, so can he go up to the community?
Oh, very good, very sharp, very sharp. Maybe he's not about to Kaya. Maybe he's not about to Kaya. But Gemara assumes that many people are not about to Kaya. That's why we don't carry shofar on Shabbos. Very good, very sharp. No, so the Taz actually says you can blow a shofar, but that goes against everything we saw in the Taz. So you can think about why exactly that is. Why is this different? The Taz says we are allowed to blow the shofar. Maybe we have to be made for the neder. He says maybe you don't even have to be made for the neder. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch by Bris Mila. It's a different case. But it's have a good time with that. That's very fun. Okay? There's a little riddle for you in sources 18 and 19. Take a look. It's from the, I found that accidentally in a shul. I will do the riddle. Okay? Is that okay? Everyone will be mochel in the 60 seconds. And then Farachi, if you want afterwards, I'll tell you what the Svar Makadoshim say about the Sefer Shabbos. Okay? So this is from L'chavad, my father, who... to be mochel in the Rosh Yeshiva's cover. My father claims to be a Gilgal of the Ben Ish Chai. I think he's half joking. But he's very, very fond of the Ben Ish Chai. He's very, very fond of the Ben Ish Chai. And one day I was in shul and I was all of a sudden I saw the sefer in front of me.
Which means he's also been the Yovan Yoyada.
Nachon. Exactly. Double Gilgal. Yeah, exactly. There are such things. Right? So he was mowed that on paper. So the Ben Ish Chai, there's a sefer that is right in front of me. I never saw the sefer before. A very strange sefer called Chukei Noshim. The Ben Ish Chai wrote hundreds of so many svarim. It's ridiculous how many svarim he wrote. Like the Chidah, the svarim, they like to write a lot of svarim. It's good. So he wrote this sefer called Chukei Noshim, which is all about different dinim for the Noshim Tzidkanios, for the Benos Yisrael, different dinim in everything, how to keep Shabbos properly and all the different things. And in the back, the last chapter, I was like looking through it just to acquaint myself with a new sefer that I never saw before. And in the back, I see he has this whole section, a whole chapter of riddles, like rabbinic riddles. And he writes in the beginning, like, don't speak Lashon Hara, don't like just like needlepoint all day. Like, use your mind to do something. So he said, I'll give you some riddles you could talk about over your coffee and whatever, your pinochle or whatever you're going to be doing. You'll do some of these riddles. So here's his riddle. Ready? Now we'll know it. It's very obvious. But he says, Yesh Davar, there's something. There is something. I don't even think it's such a hard riddle, even if we weren't in the middle of the Tosefta Davar. It's not such a hard riddle. There's something. B'mispar yisparu ha'achron. In counting it, we count it last. Avo b'chavivus v'ikar hu rishon. But in terms of how precious it is to us, it's the first. It's not much above everything else. Arko, its length, is esrim v'arba amos. Now, that's a little bit of a red herring. That's the red herring in the riddle. I don't know why he did that. But its length... He could have just said its length is 24, and then I would have thought he was talking about Amos. But he said Amos, I don't know. Its length is 24. Aval ohavav, but those who love it, moshchen oso mirosho ama achas, mikzo ama. But those who love it, add on an ama in the beginning and add on an ama in the end, which is a reference to Tosefta Shabbos. If you look in source number 19, that's the answer to the riddle. So, Mirat Hashem, Shvizocher, Rav Salavitchik used to complain all the time that even though America and... The world at large is starting to be more sensitive to Shabbos, and we're becoming Shomer Shabbos Jews. We're not really becoming Shomer Erev Shabbos Jews, and Rav Salavitchik used to complain about that. So a little bit now we've sensitized ourselves to making Erev Shabbos even into Shabbos. We should be zochah to think about Shabbos all week from Sunday all the way till Shabbos.